Ding, 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 ding.
All right.
She does have a purty mouth, I'm just saying.
Scarab is the South Carolina Anime Role-Playing and Board Gaming Convention in Columbia, South Carolina. In addition to the annual convention, the members of Scarab, also known as the Scarab Swarm, travel to retailers, conventions, and meetups to demo a variety of games. In this podcast, we highlight topics such as gaming, conventions, the people behind it all, and more. I'm your host, John Manus, and this is the Swarmcast.
You tell yourself that you just can't take this. Enough with the madness. This has gotta stop now.
Welcome to the Swarmcast. It's almost the end of November, and we're just that much closer to Scarab. The Swarm has been buzzing around, getting ready for it. This month alone, we've done two conventions, at least. King Con in Warner Robins, Georgia, and Mace in Charlotte, North Carolina. Not to mention, we also had a game day at Firefly Toys and Games, where we raised a lot of money, almost $1,000, for the Children's Miracle Network. We had a lot of fun at each of the conventions and at the game day, and we look forward to seeing all of you at Scarab. In this episode, we're going to meet Randy and Kenneth Miller from the Scarab Swarm. Kenneth is going to talk about the exciting Widows track, and Randy's going to talk about whatever it is that he does. Randy's going to talk about games that he's running, yeah, or something. I also have the first in a series of audio from GMs and event coordinators who are going to be telling us some of the games and things that they're going to be bringing to Scarab 2014. Starting us off, we had some music by iFightDragons. As always, you can check them out at iFightDragons.com. And now, let's get over into some news. And now, Scarab News! As usual, Scarab is having their November registration special, but this year, not only is there a lower rate of $40 for a four-day badge for Scarab 2014, but during the month of November, Scarab will donate $5 from each of the registrations received in the month of November to the Extra Life, the Children's Miracle Network. The special is going to run until November 30th, 2013, and it's going to end at 7 p.m., after which time you could still register for the $40 via Eternal members. Just go to the Scarab website, www.scarab.com, with hyphens in between each letter, and click on the big red $40. Now, I know by this point, some of you have already taken advantage of that, so there's really not that much time left. Now, let's go ahead and look at the calendar of events and conventions and stuff coming up. Doesn't seem to be anything on it. Nothing important to talk about. I guess there's not much on the calendar. Yeah, so we'll just skip it. Oh, wait, that's right. We have the Scarab Gaming Convention coming up in January. Oh, I don't know how I missed that on there. January 17th through the 20th. You should totally check that out. I believe that we're all going to be there. In fact, I may even be there recording stuff for Scarab Swarmcast. That may be your chance to actually get a chance to come on, talk about what sort of fun you were having at Scarab. And, yeah. Make a complete fool of yourself if you really want to. I know I'm going to be doing that. Wait a minute. Did I say that? Okay. Also in the news, Scarab 2014 plus Magic the Gathering equals free draft tournament. What? I thought that might get your attention. Scarab proudly announces another DCI-sanctioned Magic the Gathering event for this year's convention. Magic the Gathering draft format tournament, Saturday, January 18th. From 2 p.m. to 7 p.m. Free tournament entry, including three packs of Theros, with paid convention admission. Top two players will win prize support. Sign up at warhorn.net. That's https://warhorn.net/event/scarab now. Space is limited. Don't forget our standard tournament on Sunday as well. For all other events going on at Scarab, please check out warhorn.net/event/scarab. And now, it's time to meet the Scarab Swarm! Well, I'm here with a couple more members of the Scarab Swarm. Why don't you tell me who you are and what you do in Scarab?
I'm Randy Miller. I run games and help out all over the place.
Okay, and I'm Kenetha Miller. I do a little bit of everything. Mainly the Widow's Track and gaming.
What got both of you into Scarab? How did you both become involved in Scarab?
We went to Gen Con one year and we
kidnapped
our illustrious leader. And he decided that gaming was not dying, as he was led to believe, and decided to pitch this idea to us on the way back. And I guess you kind of say we got it on the ground floor.
We basically took the idea and ran with it. When he mentioned it, he wanted to hold back a year, and we kept poking him going, why wait a year? Gaming is fun. Have game now.
What got you into gaming?
Young female geek. Very, very bored and very, very antisocial.
I was a big comic book collector, and one day my comic book store had a gaming contest where you could get a big discount on stuff, and I had about a lot of comics to pay for, so I tried the tournament, and I won the tournament, and then that night, their little inner circle invited me into gaming. My first gaming ever was the old original Marvel Superheroes.
Oh, wow.
And then we gamed that for about 3 weeks, and because I was a superhero comic book guy, and they decided they wanted to play D&D, and I said, well, I'll leave you, I'm a superhero guy, and they said, no, you come play, and I've been hooked ever since.
Awesome. I think mine was very similar to that, too. Slightly reversed. I think I started with just a little bit of D&D, and then it turned into that Marvel Superheroes one. That's the one with the
charts.
We flip over the back of the book, and you go, let's look at the charts.
Yes.
I have Shift X, like,
exactly.
Resistance to fire and stuff like that.
Yeah, mine was pretty much one of the guys, literally, next door to me, decided he wanted to do a D&D game, and it lasted one session, and then I went to college. And my sister started dating a GM who ran werewolf and vampire and stuff. And so when I came back to visit, she's going, you must play with us. Come. You must play with us. We need another girl.
Awesome. Well, Scarab 2014 is coming up very soon. It's just around the corner. Do you guys have anything cool planned for Scarab 2014? Randy, do you have anything cool planned for Scarab 2014?
Well, I'll be running 5 masterful sessions of Pathfinder. I suggest all come and play with me. Ha 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 ha.
Awesome.
I have scheduled 6 sessions for the Widow's Track so far. A couple of them are chainmail and scale mail. Not so much of the jewelry like last year, but more like hand flowers, but it's going to be a scale mail hand flower.
Oh, neat.
And then, of course, the cornerstone for any chain mailer is the dice bag.
Right.
So we're going to be doing that. And then to be more on the Widow's Track side of things, we have coffee soap, which is going to have actual coffee and coffee grinds in it. It's going to be like a lye soap formula.
Huh.
So traditional soap making. A couple of sewing projects, including a companion queue, which we're going to show them how to turn it into a pet toy. Either you can put a squeaker in there for your dog, or you can put catnip in it, because of course all geeks have a cat. And then I found a pattern for making tribbles.
Oh, very cool.
So we have tribbles as well. Oh, and cellophane wings, fairy wings, but we're going to take it a slightly different pattern. Instead of doing like traditional butterfly wings, we're going to do like scarab wings.
Oh, I see.
So when you first proposed it and were posting about the cellophane wings, I thought you said cell phone wings, and I was like, who the hell would put wings on their cell phone like that?
anybody that's
geeks-oid.
Yeah, I can
idea for next year.
As soon as you said that, the first thing that comes to mind is that one little anime character with the ball on its head and the wings, the little white.
The Mogs from Final Fantasy.
Yeah, I can so imagine somebody doing that to their phone.
They have phone cases like that, but none of them fit my phone, unfortunately. Yeah. Oh, I snuck in on another interview.
You sure did. That was Ruby, everybody.
I think I'm going to try and podcast bomb now.
You're going to try to what?
Podcast bomb.
Great.
There's a few recordings where he's talking about something, and then all of a sudden behind in the background, they've never made it on, and then I say a certain word, and he just starts laughing. But I'm not going to say it because it might or might not make it in. So we'll see.
Creative editing.
Yes. Yeah, and yeah. There'll be all sorts of... I have the power of editing on this, too, so... If there's any point where you're like, can we redo that? No problem.
I think you should have recorded earlier when he was talking.
Oh, it was. For the most part.
Excellent. When we were setting up. You're still going to be in there. I'm Randy Miller and I do nothing.
That was all recorded.
Oh, was it?
Yeah.
Lovely. I think
fair enough. Go ahead. You go right ahead and use that.
That'll be fine. I've got one from like Clay, I think it was. Where he says something like, I don't like gaming. I hate everybody who games or something like that.
I am the stealth member of Scarab.
I could so see him.
I stand
doing
in the back
and
know what I do. I beat up people and throw them out. There we go. I'm security.
Yes, awesome.
I have a license. I have a security license.
I was going to say, you're kind of skinny security.
Yeah, that's what makes him even more dangerous, though.
Stealthy.
Actually, some of the best bouncers I've ever run across have been the little guys. My brother-in-law included. In fact, they hired him for that purpose.
That is my line of work.
Oh, okay.
I'm a security guard.
You have a full-blown mustache in that, too.
Yeah, I'm not supposed to have a go, but my supervisor lets it slide.
No?
But when it comes to picture time, I have to shave it off.
In fact, that's one of the reasons why he's here, because if he was working today, he would have to shave the goat. So it's like, do you want to go to the meeting and keep your goat? He's like, yes.
Why are you not supposed to have a goatee?
Uniform.
Uniform, and it's not professional.
Oh, but you can have a... Never mind.
I can have a porn stash, but I can't have a...
Yeah. Somebody's just got a sense of humor, that's all. That's what that is.
Well, it's traditional, right. Like military
basically,
or
the goatee is forbidden, the mustache is discouraged.
Oh. Wow.
But damn it, I don't want a divorce.
I told Don, he's not supposed to shave his either,
I can't shave
but he did randomly a couple weeks back, and I was like, I can't kiss you now.
I'm going to put you on waivers.
I'm actually okay with him shaving the goat every once in a while.
Well, he just looks so young. It's scary.
Well, so does he.
It's scary.
He goes from extremes. There are times when people will go, you look much younger when they finally hear his age. Mm-hmm. And then they're going, is that your daughter? And point at me. That's happened more than once.
Oh, my.
Well, aside from the Widow's Track, one of the other things I'm doing, I am running 4 episodes of Call of Cthulhu.
Awesome.
I highly encourage other people to run Call of Cthulhu. Because I'm going to be homicidal and twisted more so than usual by the time I'm done. I need somebody to bond with.
Okay.
Let us corrupt. And then I'm also organizing the dealer space. I think at this point we have like 5-6 dealers. It kind of flows as I'm getting confirmations. But one of the ones that I really, really am glad that we're getting somebody that's doing decoupage.
Oh, interesting.
And a lot of what they do is they take things like bags and shoes and things
wallets,
like that.
Wallets, I have a wallet.
Yeah. The reason why we ran across them is because they actually hold a contest, and it's odd, like comic book trivia and things like that. And they say, okay, if you can guess this, you get a free item or you get a discount at their store.
Huh.
And that's how come I've known the girl that runs it for years, but I've realized she did decoupage when he won a wallet that was covered in it. But she takes like wallets, shoes, bags, things like that, and basically overlays comic books on them.
Okay. Well, that'll be neat to see.
The Geek Forge.
The Geek Forge.
Yeah, and then we've got a chain mailer coming, jewelry. We've got Planet Comics and Firefly, and there's a miniatures guy coming as well.
Do either of you have any interesting
convention or gaming related stories
cake pops
that you wouldn't mind sharing on the podcast?
She's a storyteller.
I'm not the storyteller.
Oh, you really are.
No, the one that really sticks with me of like interesting con stories from like last year. It was the first year we did the Widow's Track, and we decided to do Pokeball cake pops. And we got a late start on it because nobody had actually signed up. And I went, okay, you know what? I want cake pops. I'm going to make cake pops. So I went ahead, I made the cake, I started prepping everything, and then people started floating over. And they started making cake pops. And then rather than let the surplus go to waste, I just let everybody make as many as they want. They sat them all on the table, and the next thing I know, I'm leaving because they're finishing things up and I need to check on the dealers and wrap things up because the dealer space is closing down. And next thing I know, I have a little kid running up to me and goes, "You're okay, right?" It's like, "Yeah." And he's like, "Nice to meet you." She slips my hand, and next thing I know, I walk off with a dollar in my hand, and I look at her and go, "Huh?" And she looks at me and goes, "Cake pops," and runs off. Turns out somebody at the table told them that we could not give them the cake pops. We couldn't sell them because you couldn't have the outside food.
Uh-huh.
But if you paid for the event, then you could walk off with one of the cake pops. What I ended up doing it because we didn't have as many people show up as I thought, so I didn't charge the overall cost for materials. I just did it individual. So if you made a cake pop, you got to keep a cake pop and pay a dollar. And so that's what the kid did.
I don't want you to hit me.
she slipped me a dollar and walked off with a cake pop.
What about you, Randy? Any interesting stories?
No, I've only been gaming for a minute.
What?
I don't know. There's lots of stories. I'm not sure all of them are appropriate.
Well, I've got a few stories from Dell that I had to cut out of his. Because
Well, there's the time that I'll take the story from... the time that Dell and myself and Kenneth went to Gen Con the first time, and we decided we were going to do NASCRAG, which is a really big role-playing tournament at Gen Con. It's huge. They do like 3 5-hour sessions, and you have to have a team, and then they cut teams as you go through. Well, I was exhausted. And I played a female kobold who was square, very, very prim and proper.
I played her the first session.
And I fell asleep and slept through both sessions, both the first two sessions.
I, for some reason, slept through the first session, and then when we met up for the second session, they took like an hour to get everybody seated and prepped. So I went, okay, here's the deal. I love you all, but I'm not playing this session. Enjoy. I'm sorry. I'm out. And at the end of it, they're saying you have to show up for the end. It's like,
whose story was this?
Keep going. I'm just perfect. Keep going.
I'm fine. Anyway, I slept through both. And then the third session, and we made the cut each time. Each time we made the cut, we kept going. And the finals, I did there's a point where everyone is required to dance to show their humanity. And I refused to because dancing was frivolous. And I was anti-frivolous. Everything had to have purpose and function. And I was the only person in like 60 teams that refused to dance to that character. So they gave me the prize for playing the best character of that character. Because all the characters in all the different groups are the same.
Right.
And they gave me the big NASCRAG trophy. It was about this big. And took my picture and everything else. And yeah, I slept through the first two sessions.
Wow.
Dell thought that was kind of funny. I guess it kind of is. There's a big picture on our site somewhere of me holding the trophy and my Scarab shirt.
Are there any last-minute shout-outs or anything you want to bring up?
No.
I know, you're like shout-outs. Yo, what's up?
All hail King Torque.
All hail King Torque.
You try not to yell that out in the library, right?
I really, really am anti-shout-out, to be quite honest, because... I never could understand why people would do that on the radio.
I'd like to give a shout-out to my ex-wife for allowing me to go to Gen Con by myself.
And thereby meet his future wife. not joking. He was married when I met him.
It's a fair statement. That's why I made it. Awesome. I just wasn't sure if you wanted to have that go across the airway.
I think that's a good one. I like that one. That needs to say. I'm looking for people to still run things for the Widow's Track. And if somebody wants to do a project for the Widow's Track, but they're not sure what they want to do, please let me know. I will so teach you how to do it and set you free on the con. One of the things that I would really, really love to do, but I don't have the time to do it, is how to teach somebody how to do screen printing. And not, you know, massive screen printing. I actually know of a project you can do screen printing where you take an embroidery hoop and you stretch nylon across it, like nylon stockings, and you put the design on the hoop, block out everything, and then you make your own screen printing screen from that, so you can print things on shirts or cell phones or whatever you're trying to put it on. So if somebody wants to do something for their wood extract but they're not sure of what kind of project, I will teach you how to do it and set you free. Enjoy. Learn a new craft. Have
fun. Teach others.
Yes, bring more into the fold. So that we can actually have use for the crafting area that I want to do. We are going to do a crafting area. Basically, if you have craft items that you are no longer using, or you picked up random stuff and you forgot why you're doing it or what you were going to do with it, but you know you have like 20 million beads, bring them to me. I will make use for them. And then when you drop them off, you can pick up a new addiction.
As far as the anime people, I might end up sending anime people over to the craft room because we're doing a complete it workshop of, you know, oh, you got a such and such costume that you're having issues with. We'll bring them in, and some of the seamstresses there will give you input and help you on the machine and whatnot. And if they're missing parts, we'll just send them your way.
Yeah, well, not only that, we can teach them how to do things like making armor out of
sculpting.
Yep, sculpting, yeah. Warble, cardboard. In fact, the cellophane wings, one of the frameworks for the cellophane wings, instead of using wire, we're going to use poster board so that it's more flimsy. We're going to, with the cellophane wings, we're actually splitting it into two sessions. I actually posted one session that's going to be running concurrent with the second session, and one's going to be the kids track version and one's going to be the widow's track version. So the widow's track version, the wings are going to be made out of wireframe, and the kids track version is going to be made out of the poster board.
Now, for the different events, is there extra charges or anything? Mm-hmm. Is it for all of them or just some of them?
No, the cost that you would pay in addition to the widow's track items would be in direct relation to the cost of materials. So basically you are reimbursing the person who's teaching you for the cost of materials. So for example, like the cellophane wings, the kids version, the materials are a little cheaper. So the cost for that would be like 10, whereas the cost for the adult track would be like 20. But in comparison, the same wings that I'm showing you how to make on the adult track, but like the lowest I've seen them online would be like $70. They get pretty ornate.
Well, once again, thank you, Randy and Kenetha Miller, for giving me some of your time to talk about yourselves and about what your plans are for Scarab 2014. The Scarab Gaming Convention hosts a variety of events and games, ranging from board games to role-playing games, and even some LARPs. For a full listing of these events, you can check us out on warhorn.net/events/scarab. All of these games should prove to be a lot of fun, but don't take my word on it. Let's hear from some of the GMs and event coordinators themselves.
Who are you, and what are you planning on running at Scarab?
I am Darren Miller. I live in Myrtle Beach, and I've been running at Scarab for the past 3 years. I always run a ton of stuff. This year will be no exception. On Friday, I'll be kind of doing a Fiasco Friday. So at 2 and 8, I'll be running Fiasco or facilitating. It's a GM-less game. It's a lot of fun. It's like putting together your own Coen Brothers movie in 2 to 3 hours. Characters are generated on the spot. It's all part of the game mechanic. And we pick a play set that appeals to everyone at the table. So if you do multiple games, you'll get a different play set every time. On Saturday morning at 8, I'll be doing Fiasco High, which is like a teen version, kind of like the John Hughes movies from the 80s. So that's a lot of fun too. And then the rest of Saturday will be Savage Worlds stuff. On Saturday at 2, I'm going to run a Deadlands Noir scenario. It's going to be an original Deadlands Noir scenario. I'm calling it the Butcher's Bundle. It'll be the first time I've done this one. It's a case of some missing money and a search for that money, and some unexpected things happen while you're searching for that money that kind of leads to maybe an unlikely criminal. If you haven't played Deadlands Noir, it is set in, the default setting is New Orleans of the 30s, but this one's actually going to be using the Deadlands Noir companion, so it's going to be set in Los Angeles in the 40s, which I think is kind of neat. If you haven't played the companion material, LA provides a ton of material and some neat different settings and things that aren't from the original, the core book, expands it from the New Orleans in the 30s and gives you a couple of different opportunities to play some other things. And then for Savage Saturday Night, I'm doing a kind of a cross between a Scooby-Doo episode and a Call of Cthulhu adventure for Savage Worlds. So that'll be kind of neat too. I'm using the Savage Worlds rules and the Realms of Cthulhu rules and some special Scooby-Doo rules mixed in. Then on Sunday, 2 p.m., doing a Pirates of the Spanish Main, a little adventure, Dead Men Tell No Tales. Sunday at 8, I'm going to do the Silver Griffin Games Wellstone City Public Transit Assassins. Wellstone City is a really dark, very urban, modern neo-noir setting, and should be cool. Hopefully, I think Silver Griffin is going to provide some support for that as well. So you could get some swag to go along with that too. Public Transit Assassin. It's a very like modern gangster film kind of thing. Almost kind of like Fiasco or Streets of Bedlam, which I ran last year. And then on Monday and in the morning at 8, I'll be doing one more chance for people to play Fiasco. So if you didn't get a chance the rest of the weekend, or you loved it when you played it on Friday or Saturday morning, it's one more slot to play it. Fiasco is an excellent game. Like I said, it can be put together very quickly. It takes very little prep work. Anybody can run it and play it. And it's the characters have high, lofty goals and very poor impulse control. They make lots of mistakes, and it usually ends in a very violent and bloody way, except for when you do the lighter, like the teen setting that I'll be doing on Saturday morning.
So why don't you tell me who you are and what you're planning on bringing to Scarab?
Well, I'm Paul Hubbard. And myself and Andy Burris are bringing the Cheese Wedge to Scarab this year. We've been doing the Cheese Wedge for a little more than a year and a half now, mostly at Firefly Toys and Games in Lexington. And it's basically a younger, cuter version of the Cheese Grinder, the biggest and scariest tournament at Dragon Con. What we have is people come in, and they can play a pre-gen Pathfinder character, or they can make their own using our little rule set, and then just make the cheesiest character they can, and we're going to grind them. It's a random dungeon with a round-robin sort of setup so that you come in and you live as long as you can, which may be one round, or it may be an hour or so. You might live longer than that, but rarely does anyone. And then when you die, I ding the bell and you leave and someone else takes your seat. You just get back in the queue. It's $1 a life, and that's probably overvaluing your life. But yeah, that's what we do. So we're going to do it at Scarab from early in the morning on Saturday until late at night Saturday. With people qualifying for the finals, which we're going to hold on the afternoon of Sunday. And, yeah, it's going to be a pretty big event. Usually we have a really great turnout at Firefly, so I expect to have at least as big of a turnout as Scarab.
Okay. And are there some guidelines that people can
Yes, indeed. It's pretty simple, but without going too much into the details, you can find them at the website, which is www.regretgames.com/cheese-grinder. Or you can go on the Scarab's website, and I'm sure that they have my link up there.
All right. Well, thank you very much, Paul.
No problem.
We look forward to grinding some cheese.
Oh, as it were. Yes.
I'm Randy Miller. I'm running Pathfinder. Yay.
I'm Jason Wright. I am going to be running Dockside Dogs. It's a Call of Cthulhu scenario based on a certain Quentin Tarantino movie. So there is going to be a lot of paranoia, madness, insanity, and probably some harsh language at the table. I've tested the scenario with some friends. It's gone very well. It's the tale of a group of well-dressed criminals immediately after a heist, when some very strange things start to happen. I'm looking forward to getting a full table and seeing how it all unfolds.
So I'm Del Collins. I'm the venture captain for South Carolina, the Pathfinder Society venture captain for South Carolina. And this year for Scarab 2014, we've got over 180 tables of Pathfinder Society. If you take a look at our Warhorn site, which you can get to off of our homepage, off the scarab.com homepage. You'll find on that Warhorn site all of the games listed in the schedule. If you look in the schedule and don't find a game listed that you really, really are jonesing to play, just drop us a line through our contact page on the website and we will find a game master to run that game for you. Now, that doesn't guarantee that we'll be able to find other players that want to play with you, but we will find a game master who's willing to run the game that you want to play. In addition to the 180 sessions we've got on the schedule, which encompasses almost the entire library of scenarios that are in existence currently. There's a few that aren't on there, but not many. In addition to those, because we've got over 50 tables of Pathfinder Society at our event, it allows us to run several special events. So this year we are very excited to be running both level 1 and level 2 of Bone Keep. I have it on good authority that level 3 of Bone Keep should be out and available by the time Scarab rolls around, but you never know. It might not make it out until the week after. But if level 3 does come out in time, we will also put in level 3 on the schedule. So it would be very cool to have all of those on the schedule. Bone Keep is significantly deadly as far as scenarios go. You're going to want to bring your A game if you're going to play in Bone Keep. Bone Keep level 1 is a very difficult scenario. Level 2 is even more difficult than level 1. My table for Bone Keep level 2 TPK'd at Gen Con in the second room. So, to give you an idea on that one. Now, a lot of players aren't having any problems getting through the Bone Keeps, but there are a ton of players that are just getting wiped out. So, if you're going to play Bone Keep, you're going to want to make sure that you've got the prestige or the gold to be able to get a res, just to be safe. We've also got on the schedule Day of the Demon, which is this year's special. And Day of the Demon is the 4EX special, which is the one that can only be run by Venture Captains, Venture Lieutenants, and 4-star or higher Pathfinder Game Masters. And then in addition to that, Saturday night, we've got the large multiplayer Pathfinder Society special, Siege of the Diamond City, which is going to be a... We currently have 12 tables on the schedule. However, we're able to go as high as 18. We have enough game masters to run that many. We also have the game masters to run the higher level tables for the higher level characters. Those tables are called Seeker level tables. That's the level 10 and above characters. So if you're coming to that event and you're going to sign up on Warhorn, make sure that when you sign up on Warhorn for the Siege of Diamond City Saturday Night Special, that you put down your character class and level. That will help us make sure that you get to the right table and help us muster those very, very fast. If you have any questions about any of the stuff that's on the Pathfinder Society schedule, again, just go to that Contact Us page on the Scarab website and drop us a line, or if you've got one of my business cards, or if you've got my email address from the Paizo website, that's venturecaptain@scarab.com. Again, that's venturecaptain@scarab.com. And Scarab is all hyphenated. You can go to the Paizo website and get my contact information there. Feel free to contact myself or Matt Pikowski or any one of the other venture officers that is attending the event. We look forward to having you at Scarab. See you in January.
Tell me, who are you and what games are you bringing to Scarab?
Well, my name is Sean Torrance. I'm with the Grand Strand Gamers out of Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. And I'm also the board game coordinator for Scarab. And I am going to be bringing some of my own games, of course. Not my own games. Not like I'm some sort of game designer. But I'm a game owner. And I'll be bringing a bunch of my games in addition to the fact that I have worked with some other game judges from across the state. And we've put together a track. Not just one, not two, but a whole eight tracks of gaming for your enjoyment, covering a variety of different bases. We've got Euro games. We've got some party style games. We've got card games, light gaming, just some easy entry, low thought impact games. And we got some epic length stuff too. We got some stuff that goes more than 2 or 3 hours. We got schedules for upwards to 5 hour slots. We got co-op games. If you're interested in playing a game, but you don't want to play against other players, play with the players against the game. We got a whole slew of cooperative games that are going to be available for you. A zombie track. Zombies are always popular. We got a gentleman that's willing to run a whole bunch of different zombie games. And what else? Sci-fi. And I think that's all 8 of them. In addition to that, we're going to have a ton of open gaming, which is from a variety of different gaming libraries that will be there. Gnome Con, Scarab, both of us will be having our giant libraries. There's a couple other people are going to be bringing their massive libraries as well. And that library, what does that mean? It's just like a library with books. Go over, check out a game, take it to your table, check it out, play it, bring it back, get a new game. So wow. There's going to be a ton of different ways to play games there. Organized seating, we're going to have these tracks together. I added it up and it ended up being 250 seats of organized play through tabletop gaming, open gaming, hundreds more, plenty of different opportunities scheduled throughout the entire 4-day event. We're going to have a Loop and Louie tournament. Loop and Louie is a game in which there is a spindle in the center of the table, and 4 player sections that come out from that, sort of a north, south, east, west. In the game, Louie is in a little red biplane, and he's flying around on this spindle that's motorized, and he goes counterclockwise around the table. And as he comes across your player station is representing a farm, and there's little chickens in your farm, and Louie likes to scare your chickens away. And mechanically, what will happen is if the plane goes by, it hits a little token, and that token will get knocked out of your farm. But to prevent that from happening, right before your farm is a little plunger, and you can smack that plunger and make Louie go flying up in the air, still in a circle, but he'll come down on a kind of universal joint and pivot back down and dive bomb somebody else's farm. And the object of the game is to be the last one that still has chickens and eliminate all the other players. And we ran that last year as a tournament setting, and we had about 22 or 24 people and ended up with our grand champion, David Callahan from Charleston. Hopefully he'll be back this year to defend his title. And we had a ton of fun with that. Any age group. It's actually a game designed for 4-year-olds, but I've gone to conventions, brought that out, and we've had booth babes going over there and playing that thing. We've had grandmas coming over and playing that thing. I haven't had a celebrity yet, but I'm waiting to get a celebrity playing that game. Super, super fun. We've got that scheduled for Saturday afternoon, right when we knew there'd be a bunch of families there. The biggest Saturdays tend to be our biggest day, and Saturday afternoon, of course, tons of cool family type activities will be available. I've also scheduled it so that in the mornings, the gaming is a little bit easier, to comprehend. It's easier to set up. It's some of the lighter gaming in the mornings at the 8 o'clock to 10 o'clock slot, so that you're just waking up. You haven't got enough coffee, or in my case, Mountain Dew, and you're still trying to wake up. And those mornings are then scheduled for some of the lighter fare. As the day wears merrily forward, we start to get into the medium weight and heavyweight games. And by weight, I mean the complexity level and how much thinking you have to do in some of those games. And then we end every night with a couple different party games. We're going to have Smarty Party, Bezer Wizzer, which is a trivia game, sort of like team trivia that you have at the bars, where you can need to know categories and you can steal categories from each other. Really, really fun trivia game. We're going to have Telestrations, and another favorite one, which is Cards Against Humanity. It's sort of like Apples to Apples, brought to you by Quentin Tarantino or something like that. it's a dirty, dirty game, though, and a lot of fun, a lot of laughs.
Yeah, it is. I was going to say, no, it doesn't have to be. But
it doesn't have to be, but it really does, because the cards even say it. So,
yeah.
We've got some longer games that we're going to be scheduling.
Are those epic games you were
Yeah, we get epic length games. We got an X-Wing tournament. X-Wing's kind of weird because it runs a line between board game, or is it a mini game? And I always think it's got to be a board game because I play it. Not obviously, it's not a mini game. We'll leave that to Steve Holly and his crew. But we did schedule that with the mini game folks in mind. A lot of the local players in Columbia are both X-Wing players and Warhammer players, so we tried to schedule it during a non-Warhammer time tournament. We've got an X-Wing mega battle. It's kind of like a free-for-all. It's Friday night at 8 o'clock. We're also going to have an X-Wing tournament Saturday night at 8 o'clock, and that'll be a one-on-one, 1v1 type of tournament setting. Do you remember the first day at Scarab last year? There was a massive D&D set that was there.
I sure do.
Tell me what your thoughts on that were.
Well, my first thought was, wow, that's impressive. My second thought was, I really want to play that.
Yep. Robin Dial, who set that up, he had bought multiple sets of Dwarven Forge, which is a...
it's an amazing scenery for...
Yeah. Gaming. It's scale dungeons. Scaled to the standard Dungeons and Dragons type figures of 28 millimeter figures. These are full stone walls in three dimensions. The only thing that's missing is the roof of the dungeon, but he makes this massive dungeon that takes up probably four gaming tables altogether. You couldn't even reach across it at its width. It's just giant. And he sets up and plays, usually I think it's groups of five, and he runs them through that. That'll be on Saturday at 2 and Saturday at 8 currently. He's going to run two of those back to back, and it's big enough, really. He told me if he can get another GM, he may be able to run two different groups coming in it from different corners.
Which would be amazing.
Yeah, 10 people in that is like a free for all. In fact, he could even do like a dungeon bowl and have them fighting each other if they can get close enough to each other.
What system is he using for that?
He's going to be using Pathfinder. It's kind of a sleek Pathfinder. It's all okay. Pre-con. It's not bring your own characters. He's going to have some pre-generated characters for you to use. But you have a little bit of flexibility. I played in it last year because I heard about it, and when I saw it on the schedule last year, I immediately jumped on it. So I have achievement unlocked on that one, and I'm going to let some other people give that a shot. Sure. But we've got a whole bunch of different things available for you. Pathfinder, the Pathfinder Adventure Card Game. Now, this isn't Pathfinder Society. Instead, this is a card game, a deck-building game based on the Pathfinder experience, the Pathfinder role-playing game.
Well, because I play Pathfinder, and mm-hmm. one of the joys of that is being able to advance your character. Is this card game going to let me do that as well, like that?
It sure does, actually. That's what's neat about this, and I think what sets it apart from some of the other collectible card games. We love that one so much. I've actually got that one scheduled three different times this convention. Wow. We've got it on Friday, we've got it on Saturday, and just for those people that want to stick it out, we got one on Monday too. Now that's just the scheduled ones. Again, right. Open gaming.
It's
probably going to be going on all the time, and during the scheduled games, we'll teach you how to write your character down, and if you leave and don't get a chance to play it again for 6 months or something like that, sit back down, you'll have those 15 cards that are in your deck, the 15 you chose to keep, and you can pick right up free where you were, just like a Pathfinder Society game.
That sounds pretty cool. So yeah. we have all sorts of flavors of Pathfinder at Scarab this year.
Yeah.
It's almost going to be like you're not going to be able to walk into any room and not see some sort of Pathfinder related something going on.
It's almost like I think we have found the path at this point. We probably don't need to continue to try to find the path, but we will be finding paths in every room. There will be a path somewhere.
Yeah.
We've got the co-op games are some of my favorites, where you're actually working with a group to try and defeat the game itself. Right. One of my favorites that I'll be bringing is Police Precinct, where we all play cops. Cool. And we're trying to solve a murder, but at the same time, we have to fight down the crime that's happening in the city. So we're working together to get all the clues that we need to find the murderer of this murder, find the murder weapon and the motives and what the victim was. But at the same time, there's street gangs and car accidents and domestic disputes that we have to solve. And if we let any of them get too out of hand, the crime takes over the city and the city falls into ruins. And just to make it more fun, there could be this game has what's called a traitor element. There could be a dirty cop as well working against us
that is dealt, your loyalty is dealt to you secretly at the beginning of the game, and it teaches you right there how to play against the players. And if you can succeed in doing that, you can kind of be the overlord, the kingpin of crime, and working from within the system to try to win the game. And you alone will then be the winner. Co-op games, Trader Element games, really, you name it, we're going to have a ton of it there. If you want to bring your own games, bring them. We'll find some players for you. Heck, I might even sit down and try to play a game or two if I've got the time to do that. We scheduled it so that most of the regular games are set in 2-hour blocks, and in between those 2-hour blocks is 1 hour free time. So those are some times to kind of degas, go get some lunch, you know, grab a restroom break or something like that, and get back to playing again.
Yeah.
So tons of different tracks for you, different activities for different folks and likes. And if you want more, let us know. We've still got a couple months. We can put some things on the schedule. It's always easier. I tell people it's always easier for us to schedule a game that is wanted than it is to bring a game that we think is wanted. Right. And then no one shows up, or we do it at the wrong time or something like that. There's hundreds and hundreds of games, and it's hard to pick out the gems out of that. But we think we've done a good job of doing just that. I've asked the people that are running these things to pick their favorite games. So you get people that really are passionate about the game that they're going to be playing. They really know the rules, and they're going to help you through it. They may be playing against you if there's not enough players, but any good game teacher is not going to wipe the floor with new players. I sure don't. I know most of these guys, and they're not going to do it either. Card games. Oh, that's another. Did I talk about the card game track? I don't think I did.
I don't think you did.
I talked about the adventure card game, the Pathfinder one, but we're going to have a bunch of other types of card games there as well. I'm going to be running Sentinels of the Multiverse, which is a superhero game. Each player has a deck of cards in which they represent a superhero, and we're all working together against a villain that's played by the game. So there's kind of an AI and artificial intelligence in the game that runs that supervillain, and we are all working together to try to defeat him before he defeats us. Thunderstone, one of the first deck building games. Dominion was the first. Then Arctic Scavengers came out shortly after that, and then Thunderstone. And Thunderstone is a dungeon crawl where you're putting a party of adventurers together and trying to defeat the big evil that's coming out of the dungeon. And Judge Ryan Conway is going to be running an epic version of that, where it's a whole bunch of sets all mixed together, and it's a really, really fun way to play that. So look for a whole bunch of that. And we are working on getting some Magic the Gathering as well. We're going to have some tournament play for that, organized tournament play, DCI sanctioned events, and we are working diligently to bring Magic the Gathering to Scarab for the first time ever.
That is amazing.
Yes. More to come on that.
More to come on that.
Yep.
All right.
Yep. Working on details, but we should have some pretty cool stuff for that very shortly.
Well, cool. Well, thank you just all of this information about this amazing, amazing board game track, which it almost seems like we should call it something to just board game track, because it's really board games and card games, and there's some...
Tabletop games.
Tabletop games. Yes, the tabletop game track. thank you, Sean, for giving me all of this great information about this. Sounds like it's going to be really hard to just schedule time to play everything that I want to play at Scarab this year.
I think there's going to be decisions that are going to have to be made this year. People are going to have to pick what they want to play. And again, if you want to see a game, please, please, please let us know. We'll do our best to get that on the schedule as well. And if not, we'll make sure that it is there and that it'll be available for you to play.
Yeah, still plenty of time to contact us about that.
Yep. Hit us up on Facebook. That's our primary method of communication. You can also go to our website at Scarab.
Yeah, it's www.scarab.com.
Yep.
Scarab, there's hyphens in between each of the letter.
So every time you say S, then do a dash, and then right. C, and then do a dash.
Right.
Because what does Scarab stand for, John?
Well, it kind of depends on who you ask. I think currently it stands for South Carolina Anime Role-Playing and Board Gaming.
Yeah. So all of that stuff is going to be there, and we want to see you every day at Scarab. Check us out. Come game with us. We'll teach you the games that you don't know, and we'll play the ones you do know.
I want to give a thanks to the GMs and event coordinators who gave me all that information. So now we know some of the games that are going to be at Scarab and some of the events that are going to be at Scarab. Of course, if you want to see what everything that's going to be at Scarab, you'll definitely want to check out Warhorn. It's warhorn.net/events/Scarab. If you're a GM or an event coordinator and you want to do what these guys have done and have an audio recording of your event or game, just email me at johnmanes, J-O-N-M-A-N-E-S-S at scarab.com, or hit me up on Facebook, or hit up Scarab on Facebook, or leave a comment at the end of this podcast.
And now, Buzz!
Interested in volunteering for Scarab? Go to Scarab's website and click on the Gaming tab to learn about the special GM and volunteer discounts. Volunteering 15 hours gets you the Tier 3 badge discount of $25. Volunteering 25 hours gets you into Tier 2, which comes with a free badge, Scarab t-shirt, and a $5 food per diem at the cantina. Volunteering 35 hours gets you into Tier 3, which includes the free badge, the free t-shirt, the $5 food per diem, one quarter of a hotel room for the convention, and a special gift, $30 in value. Now remember, this is a 4-day convention, so this is quite a deal.
If you want to play Pathfinder Society and you're in the Columbia area, you should check out Firefly Toys and Games. Every Wednesday, beginning at 7 p.m., there's Pathfinder Society games. Matt Pakowski, Calvin Korn, who I've mentioned a few times on the Swarmcast, and several others are out there, and they'll be willing to run games, play games, go there, have fun. Pathfinder Society, you should totally check it out. That brings us to the end of Scarab Swarmcast. I'm just keeping it kind of short and sweet this time because we have all that information from the GMs who are coming to Scarab, and I want to thank all of them for giving me that information and for giving me their time to talk and spread the word of their games to the people who are going to be coming to Scarab this year. And of course, if you're an interested GM and you want to give a little pitch about your game or your event that's going on at Scarab, you please hit me up at either Facebook, or you can email me at John Manes, J-O-N-M-A-N-E-S-S at scarab.com, and there's hyphens in between each of the letters of Scarab. Or you can leave comments on this actual podcast's website as well. I want to thank iFi Dragons for letting us use their music at the beginning. And of course, check them out at ifightdragons.com. MC Lars, who lets us use his music, check him out at mclars.com. And of course, that music that you've probably been hearing in some of the background, and I admit adds a lot to the atmosphere of the whole podcast itself, it's from Midnight Syndicate. Check them out, midnightsyndicate.com. So until next time, and hopefully I get to see all of you at Scarab Gaming Convention in January, I'm John Manes, and I'm going to let MC Lars take us out with a song from his Edgar Allan Poe EP.
In addition to writing short stories and poems, right, Edgar Allan Poe is also a novelist.
Okay.
This is the abridged narrative of Arthur Gordon Pym of Nantucket.
A man on a whaling ship ends up in Antarctica.
You should read it sometime. It's a good book.